After one of the services last weekend, I was having a conversation in the hub lobby with one of our elders, and he asked me if I had thought about having an extended time of prayer for those who were really addressing shame and things that have been hidden in our lives, maybe things that have been covered up and pushed down. And I've just sensed, and I've heard from many of you, and I appreciate the feedback and you expressing what God is doing. And I just want you to know, I recognize that it's not easy. It's good, but some of you are, you're finally addressing and you're allowing God to speak into things that maybe you have hidden for a long time. And so I prayed and thought on those elders' words, and I really confirmed that in my heart today. And so I reached out to our prayer team and our elders earlier in the week, and I asked themselves to be ready. I'm going to preach an abbreviated message this morning, and then we're going to pray in two parts. One, I'm going to challenge you to pray corporately, and then we're going to invite those who would like to be anointed with oil and prayed for. And so we're going to trust in God and see what He does today. The lies that are continually whispered in our ear are that we're broken, that we're defective, and that we're a failure. That if we allowed people to really see who we were, people wouldn't love us, and they certainly wouldn't accept us or embrace us. And then there's a lie that God won't accept us. He won't love us because we've done too much. We've gone too far. And those are all lies. And we have to tune our ear to believe what God says about us more than anyone else. And He's given us His word, His living word, for us to identify what that lie is, to speak truth to it, and believe that the psychological warfare that the enemy wages against our minds will be stopped. Because the other lie is that he comes, once you start addressing it, that you can't change. That it's a never-ending fight. It's a battle you can't win. But again, Scripture says that anyone in Jesus Christ is a new creation and that the old is gone. And we recognize today that our ultimate weapon against rumination, against toxic thinking, is God's word. It is His truth. Paul, we continually heard his words in Romans 12, 2, where he talks about that we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we can become a new person by changing the way that we think, that we can fix our thoughts, that we should fix our thoughts on things that are true, pure, admirable, and lovely, that we're to set our minds on things above, not on things below, and that we can take captive every thought and submit it, make it obedient to Jesus Christ. And last week, we even discovered that science is finally catching up to the Bible. That as we've learned that as you fixate on truth, new neurons can be written in your brain. Thinking well and living well. Today, I want us to talk about the final lie that shame whispers in our ear. And that's this: you have to walk this road alone. That you have to cover up and bury and use fig leaves and heal alone. And truth is, many of us in this room are trying to heal alone. Shame pushes us towards secrecy and isolation. And we fool ourselves into thinking that healing comes in secrecy and isolation. But let me tell you today, it doesn't. True healing comes in vulnerable community. To hide our weaknesses and only show our strengths, to put our best foot forward and only allow others to see the best versions of ourselves is not where healing happens. But we're to remove the fig leaves. We're to expose our nakedness, to reveal to others our struggles, our experiences, our past, our addictions, our negative thoughts, and our feelings. Because here's the truth. Victory goes to the vulnerable. Victory goes to those who are vulnerable. The antithesis of shame is vulnerability in supportive community. And all of us, believe me, I recognize how scary that can be, because all of us have scars and all of us have wounds from being vulnerable with church, being vulnerable and open with those who call themselves Christians only to get stabbed in the back, only to have that used as a weapon against you. But it doesn't change the fact that healing occurs in vulnerable community, not in secrecy and isolation. The Apostle Paul, who we've spent a lot of time over the last couple weeks talking about, our main text today, I want to highlight one particular portion of his letter to that church in Corinth. He writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, "Oh, dear Corinthian friends." If that letter was written to an ACAC congregation here in the north side, he'd say, "Oh, dear ACAC friends." I want you to hear it in that tone today. "We have spoken honestly with you," Paul writes, "and our hearts are open to you. There's no lack of love on our part, but you have withheld your love from us. And I am asking you to respond as if you were my own children." And then he says this, "Open your hearts to us." Open your hearts. This section of Paul's letter, if you were to read the chapter before and the chapter after and maybe that entire book, you would see that that portion is pretty emotionally charged. In all of his other letters, it was rare that in the middle of his letter, he would say like, "Oh, Corinthians," or "Oh, Ephesians." It was rare, but he was making it personal and he was being emotional in that. He addressed them by name and he appeals to them to open their hearts, to be vulnerable. Paul had been vulnerable with them. In fact, this is a church that he planted. Many of the people in that congregation, he probably led personally to Jesus himself. And they had questioned him. If you read that entire letter, if you read this context, they doubted him. They questioned his integrity. So he felt the scars of being hurt by church. And yet in the midst of that, he challenges them to be vulnerable by saying, "Open your hearts to us." See, we tend to cope with shame and weakness by isolating ourselves and living in secrecy. But look how Paul calls us to deal with our weakness. Probably a passage many of you are familiar with. It's in that same letter. Each time Paul writes, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in your strength." No. My power works best in what? Weakness. "So now I'm glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and trouble that I suffer. For when I am weak," he says, "I am strong." See, we forget this. We know that verse, but we don't live it. We think Christ's power is in our gifting. We think Christ's power in us is in our strength, what we're good at. That's not what Scripture says. God's power works best. Not when I'm up here on the stage preaching. Not when Pastor Christian is on point and singing every note. Not when you're at your best. Paul says God's power works best in the things you hide, your weakness, in your scars, in your flaws. So when I am weak, he says, I am strong. We think our past, our hurts, our mistakes, our nakedness, that they're weaknesses, and they are not. They are actually a source of strength. God wants to use them because victory goes to those who are vulnerable. We confess to God. We confess our sins to God for the forgiveness of sin. But we confess to one another to break the power of shame. We confess to God privately. We fall on our knees. Lord, I have fallen short. I have sinned. And in that, we receive the forgiveness of sin. But breaking the power of shame, that happens when we confess to one another. That happens when we say to a good friend, to someone who intimately knows us, I screwed up. Here's what I'm dealing with. Here's what I'm struggling with. And in that moment, everything which you have tried to hide, the power that the enemy has over your mind, it dissipates. James even writes about this in his letter. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. We pray for one another. We pray for healing. And God does answer prayer and healings. But James is saying part of that healing is also confessing to one another. It's recognizing that you let go of that power of shame. You break it when you are vulnerable. Before we begin to pray, how do you be vulnerable? I'm going to give you three quick steps to do this. First of all, you have to show up. You got to show up. What do I mean by that? Every one of us have to have 2 to 3 people in our life that we show up to and be vulnerable. Let me ask you, do you have that? Do you have men? Let me talk to you for a moment. Do you have 2 to 3 guys in your life that when they ask you, hey, how are you really doing? I might get in trouble for this, but their BS meter will go off if you lie to them. You know what I mean? They can see right through you. When you're like, yeah, I'm good. They go, they know you well enough. All of us, ladies, do you have 2 or 3 women in your life that can say, how are you really doing? How are you? How's your marriage? How's the relationship with your kids? Are you struggling with loneliness? How's your prayer life? All of us have to have 2 to 3 people in our life, but you got to show up to do it. You got to show up. You have to take a risk. You've got to reach out to say, hey, can we have a cup of coffee? I don't know what it is, but I really like you. I like being around you. I'd like to get to know you better. You got to show up. Second thing you have to do is share. You have to show up, but then you have to share your story. It's one thing to show up for the game, but you got to get on the court and engage. And that means being vulnerable, taking a risk. And again, I wish I could tell you that if you shared your story, you wouldn't get hurt. I can't promise you that. But it doesn't change the fact that that's how you break the power of shame in your life. Now, you don't have to open the floodgates and share your whole story on day one. I understand it takes time. It takes years to develop those kind of friendships. But if you don't show up and if you don't begin to share your story, it'll never happen. Show up. Share your story. The third thing is you have to surrender the outcome. My guess is we have a bunch of control freaks in this room. I'm one of them. But you have to surrender the outcome. I can't promise you won't get hurt. But again, victory goes to the vulnerable. So show up. Tap somebody on the shoulder. Invite them to dinner. Invite them for a cup of coffee. I'm going to mention in a few moments getting involved in a life group. Find people in your life that will walk with you, that will intentionally text you or call you, how you doing? And then you can begin to share little by little and grow together. And then surrender the outcome to God. One of the ways in which we try to do that here at the church is what we call life groups. And I don't mean for this to be an infomercial about life groups, but I'm simply telling you one way in which we help as a church. I recognize that in a large church like this, it can be hard to find those friends. And so life groups are groups of people. Some they're affinity-based. Some are couples. They're diverse groups. Some are sermon-based series. Some are books. Some are Bible studies. Whatever it may be, the how is not the important. The why is. And if you're here today, maybe you're fairly new to the church and that sounds interesting to you, as soon as we dismiss in the lobby, Pastor George will be there as well as others. Through the summer, we're doing this thing called Life Group Light, where we will help connect you. There's a card that is in the back of the chair in front of you like this. If you don't have time to stop by, just make sure we get your name, your first and last name, and either a phone number or email address, and this week we will reach out to you and try to begin connecting. Again, whether you're in a life group, I think they're phenomenal. My wife and I are starting a new life group here in the church with a few other couples as well in the church where we're going to go through. For 2 years, I was in a small group with pastors in the city, guys that have the same challenges and the same joys that I do as a pastor, and we develop deep friendships and we share with one another. You've got to have somebody in your life. Maybe it's somebody at work. Maybe it's somebody in the church service that you sit nearby and you've seen them for several weeks. Take a risk and say, hey, can we grab dinner? Can we have a cup of coffee? Can I meet you before service at the well? Show up, share your story, and then surrender the outcome. Remove the fig leaves. Begin to be vulnerable. Don't live for the pleasure of other people. Don't put just your best foot forward. There's a scripture in Galatians. They're going to put a picture of it. It's on my desk. It's a verse that helps me when the enemy comes and says that, Alan, you can't let them know who you really are. I go to this verse all the time. Don't try to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people is your goal, you are not Christ's servant. It's pretty powerful. I said this in the last service. It made me think of it. You know, when I came here as your pastor 4 years ago, following Pastor Rock, who was here 36 years, who was well known in our city, in our denomination, incredible preacher. I would often get asked, wow, that must be tough following in Pastor Rock's shoes. And I said, not really, because I'm not trying to put them on. I love Pastor Rock, but we're very different people. And that verse helps me address the lie. I have news for you. I'm not trying to please you. I don't live to please you. I don't pastor to please you. I pastor and I live to please God. And you shouldn't live to try to please me or the person to your right or your left. You need to be vulnerable and open with who you are and who God's called you to be and be comfortable and walk in that, including your weaknesses, including your flaws, because that's where God works. With that, I want us to go to a time of prayer. And this is going to be into two parts, and this first part probably will be more uncomfortable for some of you than the second. And I want to challenge you to stretch your prayer muscles today because we're going to pray corporately. I'm going to ask everyone to stand to your feet if you would. You have lots of freedom in this. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, it's again the Apostle Paul who writes, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And his peace will guard our hearts and guard our minds as we live in Christ Jesus. So, if you would feel comfortable today, I'm going to ask that you get in groups of 6, 7, 8 where you feel comfortable. I don't care if you know the person beside you. And here's the thing. I am not asking you to share your story in this moment. That's not what this is about. This is about prayer. And I'm going to ask those who would feel comfortable just to begin to pray. I want you to pray because in a few moments, I'm going to invite our elders and prayer team, and I'm going to invite those who want specific prayer and to be anointed with oil to come forward. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's your own mind or your marriage. I just want us to begin as you feel comfortable to pray. You don't have to share your whole story. You could just say, hey, I'd love prayer for my thought life. I'd love prayer for my marriage. I'd love prayer for my kids. I'd love prayer for a friend. This isn't the place to get deep in all of that. But show up and let's pray. Right now, would you do that as you feel comfortable? Just get in groups right where you are. You can move around. You can get. I'm going to give you a few moments to pray, and then I'm going to come back, and then I'm going to invite our prayer team and elders. This is corporate prayer, church. This is what we do. You didn't come to be a spectator today. Be a participant. Let's pray to God together. Call on the name of Jesus. He hears. He answers prayer. He is the God who restores. He is the God who provides. He is the God who heals. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to give you just a couple more moments. Just a couple more moments. When you're through praying, just look back up here at me if you will. Elders and prayer team that are here, would you begin to make your way forward and spread out across the front? Thank you, guys. Just come over. Make our way all the way across the front. Men and women that are here to pray with you. James, the same one who said that we're to confess to one another and to pray, also said that if any who are sick, any who are suffering, call on the elders of the church, let them be anointed with oil and pray, and that's what we're going to do this morning. So, if you need prayer, maybe these last few weeks have stirred some things. Let us pray. I can't promise you that that healing is going to happen immediately. God may do it in the next several days. He may heal you instantly, though, right now. Maybe you're thinking of a friend. You wish somebody was here who's wrestling with this. Come down on their behalf. Victory goes to the vulnerable. We're just going to ask, what can we pray specifically? We're not going to have you share your whole story. Just going to say, how can we pray for you? And then we're going to anoint you with oil and pray. Right now, if you would like to receive prayer on behalf of somebody, step forward right now and make your way down. Maybe you want to have a friend come with you. That's okay. Go ahead right now while we're talking. Begin to pray. And we're just going to finish the rest of the service with prayer. But here's my challenge for those of you that aren't coming forward to prayer. Bible also says that we're to carry each other's burdens, to bear each other's burdens. So this just isn't about those who are receiving prayer down here. This is about all of us playing a part and you praying for them. You don't have to know their story. You don't have to know their name. Just ask God to reveal someone, see somebody and say, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but would you pray? So maybe extend your hands. If you want to kneel, kneel. If you want to get back in a group, you can do that. But be vulnerable today. Step out in faith and let's believe that God is going to break the power of sin and shame in our life. Let's continue to pray.
our God. This is who He is. He loves us. This is our God. This is what He does. He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Who pulled me out of that pit? He did, He did. Who paid for all of our sin? Nobody but Jesus. Who pulled me out of that pit? He did, He did. Who paid for all of our sin? Nobody but Jesus. Who pulled me out of that pit? He did, He did. Who paid for all of our sin? Nobody but Jesus. This is our God. This is what He does. He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus.
If you're at the front, please keep praying. I'm not stopping. Just keep praying. Everyone else, would you stand to your feet? Let me say this as well. I know our students are joining with us, and I think you guys are in the balcony. I don't want you to let distance and stares hold you back from receiving prayer as well. So any students that are here, I want you to say thank you for being with us. Hope the retreat was good last weekend. We're trying to be a little more intentional about getting our students in the service. So I'm going to give an official dismissal in just a moment. But students, if we can pray with you, we'd love to do that as well. Let me read this scripture, and we're going to continue to pray here. When I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with an inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in our hearts as we trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience today the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You're officially dismissed. I'm going to ask that you just respect the prayer that's happening in here and just keep your conversation soft until you head out into the lobby. God bless you.